Wow, David Cereda with us. We're going to continue with him and take your calls when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Final hour to go here with David Cereda as we talk about his theories on UFOs and, of course, the Staff of Moses. He claims it was an antenna. And, David, we were talking that you think it's tied into the Great Pyramid.
Yeah, because if you go back to Isis, and Isis is said, the goddess Isis is said to be...
Yeah, and make sure you emphasize that Isis, not the one that's going on now.
Right, exactly. And they hijacked her beautiful name, which her name, Isis, interestingly, if you turn it upside down, is 5151, which is pyramid angle, 51 degrees, 51 minutes. But Isis means the star Sirius itself. And so there's early hieroglyphs of Isis holding the staff, right? So she predates Moses, and nobody knows the exact date of Moses. I mean, I just read, you know, Graham Phelps' amazing book on Egypt. And so you can see a hieroglyph I have in my Project Jesus Staff book. And she's holding the staff, which is just below her shoulder height. And I know that she had the correct height because I've taken the staff, you know, the proper length, and put it up to my wife. And, you know, my wife is, I won't give out her height, but I can tell you it's right there, the same place it is on Isis's body. So I would say she, whoever did this hieroglyph, knew the correct length of the staff to be what eventually Moses would inherit, and then eventually Jesus' father, Joseph, inherits it. And then eventually Jesus and the 12 disciples inherit it. And then I believe Merlin inherits the staff, and I have some mathematical proof of that. And then I believe King Arthur's Excalibur was the same length. And so...
Now, is there anything like that today in our era?
Well, nobody's, you know, thought of... See, I'm always interested in science and tech and consciousness. So how can you use a vibrationally treated crystal with the body to improve telepathy, for example? And I believe when I came up with this theory that the staff of Moses and the staff of Jesus was an antenna, and therefore its length is half a wavelength, which is proportional to its frequency. So wavelength is proportional to frequency. So it's really the same thing. There's just a simple, you know, division you do, the speed of light divided by the wavelength to get the frequency. So when Jesus sends the 12 disciples out, he's able to get them all vibrating at the same frequency. And even if you're not putting electricity in the staff, and you, whether Jesus trained them to heat it up or to sing and do tones when it's in their hands, the electricity in your body will vibrate up and down the staff, and it will calibrate your body at that frequency, which will train you to resonate at that frequency. So it keeps all the disciples tuned to each other, and therefore to their master. And this is a tradition that goes way back in multiples of 12 staffs, right? So the Bible actually says the staff of Aaron lay in the ark, and then there's 12 staffs, and Moses has his staff as one of the 12. So Isis, you'd have to imagine if that's tradition, there must be 12 staffs in ancient Egypt as well. And what's interesting about that is, in Graham Phillips' book, the 10 Plagues of Egypt, he documents how the Egyptians went from a multi-god goddess worship to a singular, formless, no graven images, kind of like the Jews, right? In the Hebrews and the Muslims, where you don't have any graven, carved images of God, which is what the Autonists believed in ancient Egypt. And the Autonists were very similar. It's almost like a Buddhist. You don't have any image of God. You just have the presence of the light of God, which is symbolized by the solar disk. But yet, it's intelligent. It's even personal. But it doesn't confine itself to form. It can appear in the burning bush and speak to Moses. But Moses always had his staff. And when Jesus says to the disciples, don't forget your staff when you go out, you can forget everything, even your shoes, but don't forget the staff, he's placing absolute importance on it. So, but also in the Gospel of Philip, at the very end, there's Jesus refers three times in the Gospel of Philip to the three holies, as I mentioned. So the wavelength of Solomon's temple is kilohertz, and the wavelength of the Holy of Holy, which is the cube, which the Muslims have the Kaaba, the cube, although their measurements are wrong. I've checked their measurements. So they have the wrong measurements for the Kaaba. But basically, the Kaaba's frequency is megahertz, and then when you get to the Ark itself, it's gigahertz. So it's kind of like going upstairs in frequencies. But when you're holding the staff, the question is, when you go to the book of Ezekiel and this very tall angel, I mean, I measure the height of this angel at least 10 feet tall. He's holding this huge staff. He's very specific how long the staff is, and that's because all the structures in the temples have to be laid out as wavelengths, therefore as frequencies. So if you use the wrong royal cubit inch and you build the Holy of Holies the wrong size, it's not going to resonate at the right frequency, so therefore it won't be a communication portal to God. But both in Enoch and in Ezekiel, God is flying in a crystal flying saucer with a sapphire throne. Now, Moses' staff has the sapphires, like mine does, and we're designing a super fancy one for people that's going to have 10 sapphires in it, and also people can make their own. So the bottom line is the sapphire is probably a vibrational energy stone that extends the staff's ability to communicate with the throne.
How did they know these things, David?
Well, they keep records, amazing, amazing records. And the math in the pyramid, the Atenist religion is so much like the Hebrew religion. And in fact, when you read the first book I ever read, George, the very first book I read when I was still in high school, I'm 56 years old today, was Peter Lemon.
Happy birthday, by the way.
My birthday was in August.
Oh, I thought you said it was today.
Oh, no, sorry.
You said I'm 56 years old today.
I am. Oh, yeah, I am 56 years old
today. It sounded like it was your birthday.
Yeah.
I got it, David.
So basically, their religion was so much like the Hebrews that Peter Lemizuri, who wrote The Great Pyramid Decoded, the first book I ever read, he builds a case that the author and the designer of the Great Pyramid is actually God. But the Egyptians called the name of God, the Tetragrammaton, Hufwa, whereas the Hebrews, it's Yahweh, but you can't say it because there's no vowels, right? But it means the Egyptian translation of Hufwa and Yahweh is the same. It means I am that I am, which is like the universal self. When you look inside yourself and you say I am, and then you point at something and you say that I am, meaning you're everywhere. The universal self is within you and without of you. It's all over. It's universal. So the God of the ancient Hebrews is almost identical to the God of the Atenists. So, and that is the architect of the Great Pyramid. And I prove it mathematically in this book, God's Great Pyramid.
All right, let's take some calls here for you as they line up. Thomas in La Jolla, California, to get things going. Hey, Tom. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call. And David, very fascinating information on the staff. My question, David, in an interview several years ago, you spoke about developing a training in which anybody could develop their voice box, their vocal cords, to project pure tones, pure harmonics. And I'm curious, did you ever finalize that training? And is it available on audio compact disc?
Yeah, well, see, what I did, and I talked about this on your show before, George, it's just been a long time, is I took the wavelengths of all the sides of the Great Pyramid from the subterranean to the peak, and I found a music scale whose tones are more perfect than our music scale today. And those tones, there's 360 audible tones that people can meditate to activate their light body. And those tones basically have more and less octaves, so very low frequency octaves and higher frequency ones. And the super high frequency octaves go through the staff. But the ones that are in the human range, they're on my website. The course is now called Quantum Regenesis at davidsarita.net. So you can just go there and you can take the course and work with the tones. And those tones in the Gospel of the Egyptians, which is a Christian manuscript found in the Nag Hammadi Library collection, Jesus teaches people to tone the sacred tones and in a harmonic ratio of pi, actually. But it's a tradition that the ancient Egyptians had. So it shows Jesus teaching an ancient Egyptian tradition to his disciples, which is probably one of the reasons why the early church fathers rejected it as to become canonized. But I believe that it is actually there's a secret there. See, he says to do 22 tones, 7 tones 22 times each. So 22 divided by 7 is Egyptian pi, and 722, which is July 22nd, is Mary Magdalene's feast day. So I believe the church made her feast day on 722, which is Egyptian pi, which is a circle, and that is the ratio of the tones to signify Mary Magdalene knew the practice of these ancient tones. So those tones are all based on the wavelengths of the Great Pyramid, and I believe the Ark of the Covenant went inside the Great Pyramid, and therefore the staff went inside the Ark. So they're all proportional, so they all resonate together. Now, here's another amazing fact. If you take the circular wavelength of the Taj Mahal, the large dome, and you take the circular wavelength of Chaco Canyon, New Mexico, and you take the square wavelength of the capstone of the Great Pyramid, the unfinished capstone base, they're all the same, which means they all vibrate at the same frequency. So how did, first of all, the Persian architect who built the palace in India, the Taj Mahal, know this secret? Well, you can see the Persian kings had the staff. You see, so you can see this in my PDF book.
And so a lot of civilizations had something like this.
Yeah, but they're the correct length. Like if you look at his name is King Darius of Persia, and you can see his staff. It has a coil going up it, like mine does. But it's the correct height, because I can tell when he stands up, I know where it's going to come on his body, and I know with that staff, you can cast out your measures for the entire Great Pyramid, for Solomon's Temple, the Holy of Holies, even the Ark of the Covenant, because it lay inside the Ark. So all those are harmonic proportions. And when you add 12 of them together, you get the most one of the most famous numbers.
All right, once again, though, where did they get the technology?
See, that's just it. We know it goes back to Isis. I don't know where...
I mean, where did she get it?
See, Chaco Canyon is in New Mexico, and those circles are the same wavelength. So whomever designed the circles of Chaco Canyon, which is the early Hopi, we know the Hopi had connections to star beings. We know that because, you know, actually, the most amazing UFO story that I personally know is from my friend Luke Gatto who's in New Mexico now, today. He had an experience with a girlfriend in the desert where these motherships came down, and you know, unbelievable story. I mean, you should have him on sometime to tell his story. But the bottom line is the Hopi are divided today over those who see the star beings and those who don't. But it's possible, because the Hopi came from Chaco Canyon, and they migrated to the Four Corners, Arizona region. So what if the star beings gave them the knowledge to build circles that would resonate and trap an electromagnetic wave at a specific frequency? Because the frequency, I'll give you a clue, the frequency of the wavelength, you take the square wavelength of the capstone base of the Great Pyramid, which is 572 point something Egyptian inches, which is almost the same as our inch. You take the speed of light in Egyptian inches divided by that, and you get 5.151 megahertz, which is pyramid angle, 51 degrees, 51 minutes. So that means the builder knew the speed of light. The builder intended that frequency to be meaningful, and that would be the same frequency as the resonance of Taj Mahal and Chaco Canyon. So if Chaco Canyon got the wavelength from the star beings, then the Star of Beings game gave Isis, which she is said to be the star Sirius itself, she got it from there. And then, therefore, where did Moses get it from? Moses got it from because we know from the Bible that Moses was trained in all things Egyptian, and Moses could be one of the Thutmoses. So he might have actually been Thutmosis. And I've had my own mystical experience in, you know, through past life regression as being one of the Thutmoses. I mean, that's really one of the things that ever since I started working with the staff, I've been able to do. I've been able to lucid dream amazingly clear to get my own answers.
Really?
You know.
Does it have to be close by you?
Well, the experience I had is it's almost hard to believe, but in the experience, I actually am calling God by God's name, and I'm at the Great Pyramid, and God appears in the sky as a blinding golden light above the Great Pyramid, not above Mount Sinai. So I might have been an earlier Moses, because Moses is like a title. There were many Moseses. So this wouldn't be the same Moses that we all know in the Bible, because this would be an earlier one, because I was calling down God by the same name, the unenunciated name, and God appeared in this blinding golden light and sent this golden, perfect man and cast it inside of me. And it was right after that experience that I discovered the staff, the revelation on the staff. So it's almost like God, in that lucid dream, which was last winter, at this almost at this exact time, gave me the revelation to figure out the staff. And if you Google, I mean, Zeus had a staff, Athena had a staff, Minerva, Hermes, you know, had a staff. The staff is reminiscent in many cultures of the gods and the goddesses. But
didn't Moses throw it, and it turned into a snake?
That's a coil. See, if you look at the Persian king, it could be symbolic as the coiled staff, because the Persian king's staff is coiled. It has a coil going up it. So, and we know from the ancient Hebrew manuscripts that they use sapphire, and sapphire is an aluminum crystal. So I don't know whether that's a symbol, a metaphor, or is it symbolic of Kundalini, you know, the spiritual life force energy, or did he actually turn it in? There were so many miracles he did, including getting water to, you know, to pour from a stone.
Could have been a magician, too.
Well, even Jesus, when he turns the water into wine, you can see some of the earliest drawings or paintings of Jesus. He's using the staff to turn the water into wine. And maybe it wasn't wine to get drunk. Maybe it was water that was high vibration water, right? So we know from Emoto studies, like let's say I take my staff right now, and with the frequency of the Holy of Holies, I can bless my water, and that water now becomes vibrationally treated water. And when if you drink it, you might feel a high vibration.
All right, hold on, David. We're going to take a break and come back with final phone calls for you. In just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, David Cerita, his website is hisname.net. It's all linked up for you with coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back, our final segment with David Cerita, as we talk about the really incredible mysteries. Let's go to the phones. Linda in Windsor, Canada. Hello, Linda. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi there.
Fantastic subject. I love it.
Thanks.
I wanted to know that when you see the pictures of disciples, Mary, Jesus, they all have this halo around them. And I had read a long time ago that it was some kind of electric device. Do you have any information or knowledge about this?
What do you know about that, David? Is that maybe the aura that is emitting from them?
Well, exactly. I mean, it's the crown chakra that becomes, I mean, I've been meditating for 40 years every day, and I found with meditating with the tones, the perfect pitch tones, and when I meditate with the staff near me, and sometimes I hold it for 10 minutes, my crown chakra gets so bright, and there's so much joy and perfect peace and extremely bright bliss coming out of the crown chakra. And I think when people reach master levels, it becomes visible, you know, that people can see it around you when you're in that state. But there's no question that the dimensions of a temple and the resonance of something like a pyramid in your culture benefits the whole culture. And if the staffs were proportional to those temples, they would help tune the student to the temple, which is then tuned to these higher and higher vibrational levels of the light, you know, the formlessness of God. So the halo is when the person gets extremely, extremely illuminated. Like when Moses came down from the Sinai, I mean, God had Moses' brother Aaron had to wear the breastplate of gems and have his staff, but he could only approach so close, because if you got too close to the Supreme Being, when the Supreme Being landed on the Sinai, you would burn. You would actually burn. And in my vision that I had last winter, just before Christmas, when I had the memory of being one of the Thutmoseses, all the people who, when God appeared in the sky, anyone who tried to look, their faces burned to a crisp in the vision, in the dream. And that's consistent with what happens. And the reason they burn, it's not that God burns them. It's that the electricity and the power radiating from God's, the Supreme Being, is so powerful that if you're not trained, so you have to kind of go, it's like going upstairs. If you start with the bottom frequencies of the pyramid and you slowly vibrate yourself up, and then you work with the staff and do higher level octaves of the same frequencies, then you're ready to approach a light that bright. So when Moses came down from the Sinai, people said his halo was immensely, immensely bright, just like the solar disk of the goddess Isis in the Aten in ancient Egypt is symbolized by this superluminal solar disk above the head. So that's what happens. We're electrical beings, and we eventually can reach these states of consciousness that are so profound. You know, once it happens to you, you'll never be satisfied with anything else, because there's so much joy there. There's so much peace. Mm-hmm. There's so much light.
Let's go to Phil in Eugene, Oregon now, west of the Rockies. Phil, up, you're on with David Cerita.
Hi, George. David.
Hey, Phil.
I wonder if David knows anything about elliptical galaxies and them merging with spiral-type galaxies, therefore creating a new kind of worlds.
Well, yeah, but see, the last subject we were going to go into, we'd have to do another time, which is my galaxy clock and this new...
No time for that, Davey, tonight.
There's no time for that today, but so your question goes into our third subject, which we'll have to do another night.
Well, I mean, with the staff and everything facilitating with the tonal frequency in order to help bring that about.
See, I believe that your passport to the heavens is your vibration. By the time you die, if your vibration is sufficient for God to pull you higher into the light, then you graduate, and then you're able to go anywhere in the galaxy you want to, and eventually you might become intergalactic. But you have to go up the stairs, you know, first. And I think a lot of modern interpretations of religion is too reliant on the idea that you don't have to do anything. And I can see consistently, if you study even the Catholic saints, that none of them just sat there and did nothing and got illuminated. They really worked hard at it. So I think it's a process of illumination, and there are techniques that Jesus taught and other masters taught in that process of illumination.
All right, thank you, Phil. Let's take a couple more quick calls here. Joe in the Bronx. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
How are you, George?
Good, Joe.
Hi. Interesting topic. David, is the length of the staff 64 inches, and I'll tell you why. I've figured that 12 times 64 would give you 768. Now, 7 plus 6 plus 8 is 21. Divide that by 3, and you get 777, which is the number of God. Also, I have a second question. That dealing with Moses, water figures prominently in the life of Moses. Okay, he parted the Red Sea. As you said, he struck a rock, and water erupted from the rock. And also, he was found floating down a river, I believe. Am I correct on that?
Yeah,
when he was a baby.
Yes.
He was in Nebraska.
If you take the height of the Great Pyramid times golden ratio, you get 777.77 feet. Now, supposedly they didn't use feet back then, supposedly, but they did use the 12 because we have the 12 lengths of the staff, the 12, you know, disciples of Christ and the 12 apostles and the 12, in the Hebrew system, the 12 is very evident, but yet the inch is the same. It's the difference between our inch and the ancient Egyptian Babylonian inch is 0.00106 difference. So you can't see that with your eyes. But we know from the Egyptian rulers that they all varied slightly, so which is why the royal cubit inch varies from 20.6 to 20.8 of today's inches. But I found the exact inch, and you know, I can only tell you you're wrong, but you're close on the staff wing, but that's not it.
Okay, Joe. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being part of the program. We have time for a few more calls. John in Maryland. Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Hi there.
Question. Straying away from the staff for a minute. The UFOs, if our brain can't actually wrap our heads around the technology, could they be out there right now floating around in front of us and we just can't see them because we just can't comprehend what we're looking at?
What do you think, David?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's some of my early work in looking at cameras' ability to, you know, people take a picture and there's an angel in the photograph or there's a UFO in the photograph that they didn't see at the time of photography. And I have some very advanced ways of transforming cameras to be able to see into those invisible dimensions today. It all has to do with the frequency of the actual plane of the CCD in the digital camera. By altering the frequency, you might alter what you actually see. But yeah, I mean, our atoms are made of mostly empty space. The atoms that comprise our own bodies are mostly empty space. If you blew up the size of an atom to the size of a basketball, you wouldn't even see the subatomic particles. You just see space, because the particles are moving so fast. So we're basically just vibrations. So, and it's probable, it says this in the Gnostic Gospels, that we were thrown to the lowest region of matter itself, not the lowest region physically of the universe, but we're vibrating at such a low rate of frequency that there are probably, like Pythagoras said, there are probably beings living on all the nine planets in our solar system, but everywhere we look, we don't see them because of our vibration. But cameras are now catching everything from orbs to UFOs to even, you know, actual beings are showing up on people's digital cameras. And, you know, there are people that when they touch a camera, I mean, I'm sure you might have heard of that guy in Europe. I'm not sure if you've had him on your show, George, who, when he touches a camera, he see UFOs and space beings and interdimensional beings right on the camera.
Hmm.
So
you're not talking about the Billy Meyer?
No. Okay. No. If you don't know about him, I'll send you some information.
Yeah, send me.
And you got to see his pictures. They're pretty mind-blowing.
All right.
He can take anybody's camera. So people thought he was tricking them, so they would hand him a camera, then he would take a picture, and one of their deceased relatives would show up right next to them.
Brian in Indiana, yeah, definitely send that to me. Go ahead, Brian.
Good evening, or good morning, I should say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I've been watching here recently a few videos on tours of the inside of the Egyptian pyramids, and they showed and demonstrated the resonating chambers in there. My question is, with the 12 staffs, could they be put together, and is there a chamber or someplace that could be placed inside, and then people do the tones to find the frequency to make the power happen from the pyramids?
You see, when the pyramid was working, actually in the time of Jesus, all of the limestone casings were still on the outside. And nobody had penetrated the pyramid. It was, I believe it was Napoleon who, you know, bears into the wall and tears into the wall and makes the first entrance. And he goes into the king's chamber and he has this deep mystical experience, but nobody knows if that's true or not, you know, about his experience. But there's no doubt that the dimensions of the chambers are very important in response to resonances. So, but you have acoustic resonances, but what I'm talking about are the electrical, electromagnetic frequencies at the wavelengths of the pyramid, because it's made out of a semiconductive material and radioactive granite in the core. So it radiates electromagnetically. So my work has been all in calculating its electromagnetic frequencies, not its acoustic. There are other people who have done the acoustic research on the chambers.
David, would you give out your websites, please? And also, where can they watch The Voice, your DVD?
Yeah, well, the films are, they're pretty much all online on YouTube. You know, people have kind of high. But my website is my name, David Sereda, SEREDA.net. And you can get your own staff. You can get a kit to make your own staff for about $111. And then you can also get a super fancy one with the sapphires and everything in it. We're working on those right now.
I want to part the sea.
And then there's the and then there's the training on how to meditate and work with the staff. And then I have my pendants and my gem ruby Rife healing machine transmitters are there. I mean, we have so much stuff on the website. You really have to check it out over the Christmas holidays. Just bookmark davidsereda.net.
That's the way to do it. David, thanks again for being on the program, and do keep in touch with us. As you know, we are produced the Holiday Magic Coast-styled CD with the proceeds going to help veterans across the country. I'd love for you to participate. The CD is available off our website at coasttocoastam.com and the carousel reel, or, of course, you can go to amazon.com and watch it as well, and just type in the search window, Holiday Magic Coast Style CD. I'm going to give you a little taste of what's on the CD, because a number of Coast to Coast guests have performed on it, including me and a friend of Coast to Coast, Raquel.
Jesus, to thee be glory.
And again, the CD is available at coasttocoastam.com or amazon.com under Holiday Magic Coast Style. Proceeds go to help veterans, folks. It's very important. For Nathan Staton, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.